people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Man, we're back in the studio. We have all stumbled in here today.
Well, sort of.
I mean, Aaron has electronically. But Brad, Matt, yeah. and Aaron are all in the studio today. Welcome to Shift and Steer, racing rides, people, and places, where we bring you the bestest, the bestest.
You're the best around.
So anyways, hey, you know, man, we've been busy. We've been out going places and doing things and driving cars and you know, we should talk about it. It's kind of like what you do on a podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's been a lot going on. And, you know, in the news, I mean, we talked about that Tesla Model Y. We had Alistair Weaver on last week from Edmunds.com. And, you know, that thing's been...
Yeah, with that just fake accent of his.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
couldn't understand a word he said.
He's from Kentucky. Come on. But there's a lot going on, and I want to know first, Matt.
Yeah, 4, 12, red.
When you were here yesterday,
okay,
you're supposed to say I wasn't here yesterday.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, when you were here last week to do the show, you were driving a car with a four-leaf clover on it.
I was,
and. I still want you to tell me why that four-leaf clover's on there.
I don't know why. Actually,
you didn't look into it?
Okay, hold on a second. Maybe Aaron knows, because I was driving the Alfa Romeo Stelvio SUV, the Quattrofoglio, and the four-leaf clover, the Quattrofoglio, has been in the Alfa Romeo lineup for a long time on the Spiders and all sorts of cars, and I really don't know that.
Does it go back to their, like, birdcage race cars? That was Maserati.
Maserati's
Does it go back to their racing history or something like that? Or I thought you'd come in, you'd have a great story.
Yeah, I mean, you could have texted me. I would have looked it up.
I thought you would have already, because we had that discussion out by the curb that it was the perfect car to be driving for St. Patrick's Day because it had a green four-leaf clover. And, Aaron, this thing, I posted a picture of it, Aaron, if you look on our Instagram page. It's big. It's not a subtle little logo. It's very big badge on the side of the car. And we will have to look into that for a future show. But how was driving it? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think it does have something to do with the history of Alfa Romeo, and it was a specific driver, I think, who died. I don't remember the whole story, but yeah, it has a significant back days of the driver, and it was, it's kind of a memorial to him.
So it's like having a tombstone on the side of your car?
You know how, like, out here,
I think it's like calling,
when the gang member dies, they put it in the back window?
Yeah, exactly. Or if, you know, you get a freeway named after you or something like that.
Yeah, if I recall, it's a tribute. It's a commemorative tribute, you know, just like calling something a Senna or something like that, you know. It's
okay. Well, I mean, it was tastefully done. I just didn't know what it was, and there wasn't anything. I thought Motorator'd come in with this big long dissertation and tell us, Aaron. I thought he'd have it all dialed in, you know. So how was driving that?
By the way, 1923.
Okay,
one of the drivers, Savoci.
Savoci.
He had so many. There was four drivers, so there was sort of the idea of the four drivers with the four leaf clover. And then he said he had done the Targa Florio so many times and had so much bad luck. He wanted to add a symbol to it to create luck, and he added the four leaf clover to it. And then later they sort of attributed it to the four drivers and stuff. And
so an Italian guy put an Irish symbol of luck on his car.
Yeah, he said...
Why not like a spaghetti?
He said his Quattrofoglio helped him win the race. Yeah.
Yeah, a meatball. There you go. So that was it. Okay, and so they've brought it back as like a heritage edition or something?
Yeah, and they've been doing it for a long time, and maybe they put it on the racing cars for good luck because it worked for him. And then over time, they use it as a way for the spectators and competitors to see his car from a distance, because it would have
The four-leaf clover.
Yeah, and back then they were racing on like unpaved dusty roads.
Yeah.
This was a way for it to stand out.
Now,
that being said, this same driver died at the Italian Grand Prix at Monza.
Great.
So it didn't. His luck wasn't that long. But along the same lines, have you both seen the limited edition Bentley paying tribute to the number 9 Bentley boys car?
Oh yes, I did see it. Yeah,
I mean, in a
it's got a
big way
big
the grill
on the front.
The grill, Aaron, has a stenciled in white number 9, just like the Bentley boys had, and it was. I mean, it's big. It's very noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's cool
on the front grill.
Yeah, on the front grill, just like the old Bentley boys race cars had, and it's kind of weird to see this really bright shiny car, and then it has that 9 on there, you know. But
I can tell you about the Stelvio for a minute. So this is a small sporty SUV. It's it's a 2-row SUV. It's probably the size of a Audi Q5 or a Ford Edge, I got to drive it for a bit because there was the NASCAR race last weekend. We drove it out to downtown LA and met up with everybody there and a whole bunch of crazy like supercars and race cars, and we all rallied out to the NASCAR race. But this thing is interesting. This is the Quattrofoglio is the high performance version, so it has the turbocharged V6. Which, Brad, you saw it. You pointed out that it was a 90-degree V6.
Yeah, it's what's called the porcupine head. You know, they used to – Buick made them famous in IndyCar and IMSA and those porcupine V6. Oh, wow. Man, all of a sudden, somebody must have got me with a voodoo doll somewhere, man.
That's just like a shot of pain.
A shot of pain through
his leg. So it's 505 horsepower.
Thanks, Aaron. Aaron bought that down in the Caribbean, you know. It's
505 horsepower. The 0-60 is low 4-second range. And
seats that not a very big person can fit in.
Right. It definitely has some sporty seats to it. It has a paddle shift. You know, you can put it in automatic. It has kind of a paddle shift. I don't know if it's using an automatic. I'm curious the way it runs. Is it automatic with a torque converter or is it dual clutch? And it felt dual clutch to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it handled great. It rode great. It, a little sporty. You know, it's going to be a little bit bumpier, especially with the big wheels on it. But the interior was gorgeous. I mean, the one I got was a pearl white, black trim, a red interior. But, like, there's a red on the dash and the door panels, and the seats were black with an Alcantara insert and red stitching everywhere. It was gorgeous. And it was it makes a good sound, too. Like, in the race mode, when the exhaust opens up, it makes a good sound. And, you know, even in automatic mode, when you floor it and it shifts, it gets that...
Yeah,
that kind of like poof kind of shift
that
noise.
Turbo blow off sound.
Yeah,
which
it does.
Cool.
But here, my only question for it is, I drove the Giulia as well a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We took it to the Long Beach Grand Prix, and I drove the Quattrofoglio version, the 505 horsepower version of it. And when that car came out, there was two little things. One is, From a dead stop, just kind of letting your foot off the gas and letting it kind of idle and go forward, it kind of jumps. Like, it's a little aggressive. It's a little
bit of a lag, like a thump,
and
then
it kind of goes. Yeah. And that's what kind of, like, it felt like early versions of, like, SMG transmissions.
Yeah, where there's a thunk.
Yeah. So it has that. And then the braking's fine, but at the end, that last little bit of braking to get it to stop gets real grabby, and it kind of jumps again, but, you know, the opposite way, just grabs. And when the Quattrofoglio came out for the Giulia, Alfa Romeo at the time said it's a software update. But I'm thinking about it, and I think I drove it like 2 years ago or so to a Long Beach Grand Prix, probably two, maybe it's 3 years now. I'm not quite sure. And it hasn't really seemed to be solved.
Well, they pulled all their guys off to work on Boeing.
Yeah, right? So it's fine. You can drive it and you can work your way around it, but this isn't like by the end of the day you'll figure it out. Like, it takes a few days. It takes a few days to kind of get the feel of when that brake's going to get a little grabby, because you kind of like got to get on it. And then right before it gets grabbed, you got to come off a little and then get on it a little. Like, I keep thinking about, you know, Larry Dixon and Melanie Troxell. They're like, it's all about pedaling. It's all about pedaling when you're drag
different,
racing.
Different kind, yeah. But yes.
Well, this is stopping. This is stopping there. You're kind of like pedaling it. You're almost like, you know, working the throttle, but you're working the brake on it to get it to do a thing. So other than that, so the way I've been describing it is it's fantastic to drive fast. It's a little bit more finicky to drive slow, you know, and the Giulia was the same way. But that being said,
so they've tuned it for the driver when he's in the hills, when he's driving it, pushing it. But around town, it gets a little bit more.
Yeah, that
finicky, let's call it.
Yeah, that little weird way it launches and the, you know, moves initially, not even launch, just kind of moves, and the way it stops is a little weird, and it takes a little bit of feathering with the foot to get it right. But if you're going fast, it's fantastic.
Have you seen one of these, Aaron? Have you seen a photo of them?
The Stelvio?
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan. We're about to get rid of the Mini Cooper. Speaking of not very good drivers, we're about to get rid of the Mini Cooper, and we're thinking about getting a Land Rover Evoque. But, of course, I'm an Alfa Romeo guy, so I'm loving that new Alfa.
Well, this is, I mean, what, when you look at the styling, and it had some wheel arch, you know, extensions and things, but I've got to say it was understated, you know, until you get around the front. I think if you came up on it from the rear, you'd go, whoa, something's going on here. What is this? But it doesn't have a lot of big badging or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get around the front and you see Alfa Romeo. It has that DNA, you know.
The curves to the rear.
It really does have Audi. It really is kind of Audi looking, especially from the back.
Yeah, it does have a little bit of like Audi Q5 and Porsche Macan.
Yeah.
Porsche Macan kind of shape to it.
Totally.
But you're right. You get around to the front, it's very much Alfa Romeo. It's very pretty.
Oh, yeah. It's good looking.
It's really nice. The interior.
And it looked good in that pearl white, too.
Oh, it did. It looked fantastic. And so when we rallied with a bunch of cars, it was like, I think there was an NSX and an M3 and an M4 and a Porsche with a RWB conversion on it, and just a whole fleet of cars, a full body kit, Lamborghini Huracan with turbos on it as well. This kind of fit into that group. It was the only SUV of the group, but it still kind of fit in. Like, it had a good sound. It was really quick. And a guy behind me, I think I was following the RWB Porsche, and at one point he took off, and somebody was behind me, like in an M4, and I took off, and the guy's like, when we got to the truck, he's like, that truck is fast.
Because you kept up with it.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that thing, it scoots around, man. Because I'm thinking about it. I was like, I don't even know what kind of horsepower you got in your, like, M4 these days. But
yeah.
This truck's 505 horsepower. So I liked it. And I'll tell you what, that's the fast version. If you get the smaller engine, it's the four-cylinder turbo.
Well, don't call it the slow version. Call it the not-as-fast version.
The not-as-fast version. Yeah. My brother just got his wife the car, the Giulia, with a lot of the nice upgrades, the paddle shift. It's black with, like, red interior, but just with the small engine. And I know Alfa Romeo is having a little bit of a hard time sort of meeting their goals on sales numbers. And for that reason, there's good lease rates. There's good deals on these things. My brother went in and found a gorgeous black one. It's got the upgraded wheels, you know, like I said, the paddle shift, interior, stereo, all the stuff, just not the big engine.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic.
And he got
lease
a
rate.
Deal.
Yeah, it's like $300-something a month. Like,
that's great.
Like lease on it. And it's it's really pretty. Yeah.
It's cool. You know what would make it better?
Hmm.
If you're wearing a pair of Wrangler jeans while you're driving that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not very Italian, but sure.
Everybody has
some Z Cavaricis from the day.
Exactly, yeah. Everybody has a favorite pair of jeans. The pair that fits perfectly and always looks great. The pair you wear out at night, at home on the couch, at work, in the Alfa Romeo, wherever.
Yeah.
They're the go-to. do not underestimate their importance. No one knows this better than Wrangler, the authority on jeans using their expertise in comfort and durability. Wrangler jeans are made for the adventurers, the go-getters, folks who like to keep moving. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, or if you're the type who walks the earth in search of something, these are the jeans for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits, at a price that works for you. Vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. New styles, great fits. Wrangler, real comfortable jeans.
Like it. Good job.
Like it. You can do that.
There you go.
The thing about that car was that it was, it was definitely an SUV. You know, you could see that. And you and I were looking at the new Porsche that came out.
Yeah, so just announced, like, as we're recording this, it was just announced like a day ago, but the Porsche Cayenne
Coupe
is, and they're going to do a Porsche Cayenne Coupe. Now, at one point, Aaron, I think you had like an early gen, like used Cayenne.
Yep.
And this is...
I had a 2003, yeah.
So this is the new Cayenne, but with a more sportier back. It's basically a Cayenne with less room in it.
You know? Well, if you're tall, you're in trouble because they're lowering the entire roof line 20 millimeters.
Right, but the seats sit lower. Everything sits lower. Even the car sits a little bit lower. And, you know, we have BMW X5, then we have X6, and then we had like X3, then we have X4, which is the coupe version, you know. And Mercedes is doing this as well. And,
yeah, those crossovers.
And you know, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the media that tweeted all about it, Porsche sent out their press release, everybody tweeted about it, and they said, here's the answer to the question nobody was asking, is why do we need a Porsche Cayenne Coupe? But
they said the same thing when the four-door Porsche came out as well.
Yeah, but it's pretty.
It looks nice. It looks like they took the Cayenne... and they put a spindly, you know, roof line off of a sedan on it, and it looks great, sexy looking.
And don't quote me on this, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm not going to quote you. Go ahead.
I said, don't quote me on the exact numbers, but they said that the overall cargo space goes from like 27 cubic feet to 22. So it really kind of depends on how much room or what you're using it for.
It was 22.3.
But if it's more of a people hauler, I think you're fine with that. And you can get it with rear seat options, or you can get sort of the, you know, like a four captain's chair kind of thing with a center console in the back and the cup holders. And it'll flip up and down. You can kind of get somebody in the middle. Or you could do just straight up bench, like if you wanted to get three kids in the back. You know, somebody like that. But I kind of like the idea of having kind of the, like the four captain's chairs, kind of a sporty kind of SUV. Because if you were going to fit more people and do that, you know, you could just get the regular Cayenne. And I think one other
difference. Yeah, if you're trying to fit people in,
you're not buying it really for the utility, you know, more than just like.
Unless you're the guy who's talking your wife into it, and you go, no, all three kids can sit in the back. Yeah. They can fit back there.
Right. It's funny. You mentioned Alistair Weaver from Edmonds. Alistair has a baby coming on the way.
Okay.
It's his first. And, you know, the baby's going to be small for a long time, right? So I feel like Porsche Cayenne Coupe is a little bit more like first child parents kind of, you know, kind of thing. I would love it because I never really roll around with people in the back, only occasionally. Like people, you know, we'll go to an event and like pick me up, we'll go here. And then that's pretty much it. It's not like a daily usage of the back seat and the whole hatch area.
Till I got George the dog, my back seat was never used. I mean, in all my cars, they were like brand spanking new. Now George is back there on towels all the time and everything. And we're getting a tone in here, and I don't know why, because there's nothing coming in on the line or anything. That's weird. So it's a good looking car.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a lightweight option. Did you see that, where you can get a carbon fiber roof? And
yes, I did see that.
It's probably really expensive, and it saves a whole 45 pounds. but it looks really true.
Yeah, no, they broke it down, yeah, too. It was a few thousand, because it has to be included with some other lightweight stuff. I think it's $5,000 or $3,800.
Yeah, and it saves a total of 45 pounds. Now, this thing, it's not cheap. I mean, if you want the V8 motor, which puts out like 545 horsepower or something, it's, you're going to be talking in the starting at like $130,000.
Mm. Yeah. I think fully option, they're talking $170,000, $180,000.
Yeah. Now, they say it starts at 75 with the smaller motor and everything, but if you're moving up to the big time, you're starting at 130.
Yeah, starting at 130.
I'll tell you, it looks a lot nicer, because that was the thing I really didn't like about the Cayenne before. I bought it because they're getting so cheap, the older, the first generation, and even the second generation. They're getting really, really cheap. I think I got mine for $8,000 or something, a twin turbo. But they're just ugly, you know. They're the Venturi. But the nice thing is, you have 500. I think mine was tuned to 550 horsepower. You have 550 horsepower twin turbo V8. Thing handles amazingly well. It drives like a tank. It feels so heavy, but you can throw it in corners pretty hard. And yet no one cares, because it's an ugly SUV. So it's like the total like sleeper Porsche. But this thing has the Macan lines, and the Macan is just gorgeous. And I'm really glad that they adopted those, because even last year's model, you know, the front's pretty cool, but then you get to the back and you're like, really? You guys can't make that nicer? It's just like, boop, boop, here it is. So this one's great looking, you know?
Well, the new Porsche design motif in the back for the 911s and the Cayennes and the Panameras has the red bar, like sort of the light bar that goes all the way across,
right?
It, sort of the width of it. And it does do something to kind of break it up now on all the cars. It makes it look pretty good. And then it's funny, because these SUVs, even this Cayenne Coupe, has like that little, you know, eyebrow over the rear window, you know, to give it a little bit of a
shade or something.
Yeah, like a little bit of a shade kind of hanging off, which doesn't do anything aerodynamically. But you go further down to where the glass at the bottom of the glass is, where it meets the trunk, there is a retractable wing. I'm not a big fan of the retractable wings on SUVs. I think the one on that Tesla is stupid on the Model X.
What do you really think about it?
Yeah, I think it's stupid. But but this one has it, this one goes up and down. It has a gurney flap on it, and then when it goes up, it puts that gurney flap into the air, and apparently it is functional.
And it's a full size whale tail, like on an 80s.
That would be fantastic.
That'd be so cool.
It's completely retractable. It comes out from underneath, you know, very Transformer style. So I don't know. I'd like to see one in person. Maybe get a chance to drive one. I think it'd be kind of neat to check out.
Speaking of which, I drove to Arizona this last weekend to see the Desert Bloom. And
sounds like a long trip just to go see some.
Nah, it sounds like something like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and see the Desert Bloom, dude. Yeah. Wait.
You ate a giant onion?
Yeah, a giant onion, you knew. But no, we talked about whale tails. I saw the worst car on the freeway. It was one of those like mid-80s, early 90s Pontiac Grand Prix when they were just really horrible looking. And it had the biggest giant whale tail on the back.
You didn't get a photo?
Oh,
I couldn't, because I was driving. And I said to my wife, I went, oh my God, is that ugly? And I said, who even took the time to make that?
Yeah,
you know, because it was actually a nice part. It fit well and everything, but it was so ugly on an ugly car. It just made it even uglier and stupider. And I was just like, "What do some people think?"
Wait, if it made, on an ugly car, if it made it uglier and stupider, then it was awesome.
Oh, it just equals it out.
Yeah,
doesn't that cancel it out and make it awesome?
So.
Yeah.
So Aaron.
Wait a minute. So you had your wife. Wait, you had your wife in the car, and she couldn't.
And you guys couldn't take a photo between you and Charlotte and the dog.
Trust me, if my wife took the photo, it would have been a picture of the rearview mirror, and the post that comes down would have been right across where the car was. I mean, I love her to death, but she's not a photographer.
True.
So
probably true.
The other thing was, I've got a car to talk about that I've been driving, but Aaron, we haven't talked to you since you went on your Hot Rod Heroes Cruise. How was your Hot Rod Heroes Cruise?
So I know. I've been all over the Caribbean lately. It was fun, you know. I've known Vaughn Hot Rod for a long time, but you know, Tim Strange and I, we just kind of run into each other at events. Kind of like, hey, I know you. How you doing? But really got to know each other on this cruise, and what a him and his wife. I mean, what cool people. We really had fun. We entertained some legendary drivers and folks. This was definitely a gray hair cruise, not one that I'm used to, but really met some cool folks and had fun. And it was like a repeat trip for me, but on a cruise ship. So that was kind of weird. There was a little kid involved in that, but it was fun. We did a car show.
You did a car show on the ship?
We did a car show on the ship, but they had to bring photographs of their car. So that was interesting, and we had to kind of find some ways to make that fair and make it work. But it was really fun. You know, the group that holds it did a really good job. Everything was well organized. And it was really fun, and we met the baddest ship captain of all ship captains, Captain Kate McHugh. She was badass. And during one of the dockings, like there were four ships and they're all pulling forward, and she backed hers in. You know, but it was a cool experience. It was fun. It was definitely fun.
Now you said you there were some legendary drivers. Who else was on it?
I'm saying that out of respect. Everybody was in their 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Oh, I got you. So it was a bunch of retired people, is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, and then some. But you know, a lot of these guys were original dragster and funny car drivers, like the original kind. One of the guys was a Moon Eyes driver. One of the guys, a couple of them raced old like midgets, you know, like with my Uncle Harry back in the 50s. And there was some, like you hear the stories from these guys, and it's like, oh yeah, I've seen those pictures. Like, you're the guy. Like you're the real deal. Yeah, it was cool. You know what I mean? It's
like, well, oh, you should have done like the wheelchair 500 on the top deck or something.
Well, there was only three wheelchairs. Otherwise, yeah.
We're gonna have qualifying for the wheelchair 500, and whoa, look at Sam! He found himself an electric. You know, yeah. he's gonna be in the. We gotta have a judge's ruling on this.
But I believe one of the guys had an early Boyd's car. You know, it's like they were notable folks, and they were really cool. And I had prepared this whole thing because we had to speak for him, and of course Vaughn just rocked his speech. The guy's so seasoned, it's amazing, and Tim and his wife just had a ball and made it really fun and pushed some boundaries. But you know, everything I had prepared, I'm like, oh wow, this isn't going to work. Because I'm talking about education and inspiration and all this stuff, and I'm like, these guys paved the way. I'm not telling them anything; they haven't invented. So I just flew off the cuff, and it was a little awkward, but it was really fun. It was really fun.
Cool. I thought you were going to say, so I just went up there and hooked up my iPhone and played an old episode of Shift and Steer.
Yeah.
So you should have done. Yeah. You should have just gone, sat in a chair, and plugged it in and gone, this is my favorite episode of Shift and Steer. And and everybody would have been like, yeah! So, well, cool.
Yeah, no, it was cool. Yeah, it was fun.
All right. Well, hey, I think Matt has something to tell us, speaking of education, what you have to do when you have a car.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I know you have a to-do list. Everybody has a to-do list. You might want to drop off your dry cleaning or pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea.
I have a three-do list.
You could save. You could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to pick up or drop off anything. All you do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, yes way, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
G-E-I-C-O. And Geico was his name-o.
Yes.
We're going to have a new jingle for him.
Yeah.
The way their ads go, they probably buy it. So, so I've been driving a car. And,
congratulations.
You know, we always get to drive some really cool cars.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, supercars and luxury cars and performance cars. And so last week, Honda dropped off a Honda Accord, 2-liter turbo, touring edition. And Aaron, I was telling Matt, I remember the Honda Accord from like the 80s, you know, square little boxy, you know, import. And you know, you see them all over. I mean, there's so many Accords, especially in Southern California. But the thing is, I've had one maybe as a rental car over the years. And that's about it. So when they dropped it off, I was excited because I was like, okay, I want to see what this Honda Accord's about because they sell tons of them. And what is it, the best-selling car in America or something? I mean,
and, it's up there for sure.
And so I the very first experience I had with it was I had a meeting up in Los Angeles with some guys about a TV show, and it was like the quintessential Hollywood meeting. We'll come to our hotel. We have a suite. We'll meet there, and then we'll go after that. So
I don't think they're allowed to do that anymore.
I didn't think so either, but they had a couch in there and everything. But no, so we got done, and they go, well, we'll Uber over to, because we were going to a, what they call a, an actor's, gosh, I'm trying to remember what it's called. When they get up and they do a showcase, that's what it's called. So there's a bunch of actors, all kinds of casting people at this little theater on Melrose, and they go, we'll just Uber over. And I go, I've got the Accord downstairs, guys. And so four grown men and easily fit in that car.
It's not small.
It is not small. It's big inside, comfortable. And it also, the commute up was just a breeze. I mean, it was just, it was just so nice to have a car that just did everything right. And I will be the first to admit, when I looked at the Moroni report, and I saw four cylinder. But you and I, Matt, we're talking about it. That is the same four cylinder turbo that comes in the Type R. It's a little detuned.
And they put it in the RDX A spec as well.
Yes.
The Acura side, like they're really using that. I think they come in somewhere around 285 horsepower.
See on the Moroni report. This one came in at 252 horsepower.
252. I think the Acura SUV was like 280 something or 270 something. Maybe it's like 273, 274. And in the Civic Type R, it's 306?
Yeah.
306.
And after I did a little poking around on the internet, I found out that for about $700, $695, you can get your Accord to the same exact spec as the Type R. And no problem at all.
Yeah, that's a 50 horsepower bump based on the tune. You know, now, you probably can't get it in California because it's 93 octane, but
especially if it's louder.
But I mean, this thing, I've got to say, of all the cars I've driven in a long time, it has to be the most bang for the buck. Because this had leather interior, the front and rear seats were heated, the fronts were air-conditioned, it had heads-up display, it had lane assist, it had the safety mirrors, you know, so that you see your blind spots. It had driver assist so you don't rear-end anyone. It had Apple CarPlay. It had a sunroof. I mean, 19-inch alloy wheels. And it's stickered at $36,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of car for $36,000. And if you add a $700 tune to it, you've got, I mean, because it has a sport mode. It has paddle shifters. So you click that sport mode, the dash changes to a different configuration, and it shows you your turbo boost gauge. It shows you everything, and it actually gets stiffer. The steering gets more responsive, and it was fun to drive. There were a couple nights driving home from the studio that it's 10 o'clock at night, hit that sport mode and kind of going on those on-ramps on the freeway. It was nice. It was.
Now, is it just front-wheel drive, or is it their super-handling all-wheel drive version?
You know what?
Do they even have a version of it?
I don't know if they have an all-wheel drive. This was front-wheel drive. And I will say that even in their economy mode, from a dead stop, if you just swap the throttle, it starts to break the front tires loose. I mean, it's got a lot of a lot of get up and go. Not only that, the 2019 body restyling,
yeah,
it's a good looking car.
Yeah, it is sharp. We saw it here last week. You and I were looking through it.
If you squint and you kind of look at it, you could kind of go, wow, is that sitting across the parking lot? Is that? And I kid you not, it has that side silhouette of like a CL Mercedes, but it's smaller.
Yeah,
it's a little bit smaller. And it's got that big, giant grill on the front that they did a really nice job with, and it's a really good car. Now, the 10-speed dual clutch automatic transmission does what it needs to do, and
10-speed. It's a lot going on there. 10-speed is a lot.
I know. I always wanted a 10-speed, you know. Yeah. You
probably don't even notice the shifting when it's a 10-speed. It's like butter, right?
It is like butter. But I'll tell you what we should talk about here is the technology that these cars are going towards. Because Matt and I, we've driven a lot of these cars, Aaron, where they have all the new technology where lane assist, lane control, you have anti-collision, and there's really a big difference. And now Honda's a big car company on top of technology, but I got to say, I was not digging the lane assist control in this car because I drove it over to Arizona, like I said, and
assist is the one where you're driving in the lanes, and if you start to weave a little bit in or out, it pulls you back. It turns the wheel and puts you back in the lane.
Yes. So there, you've got the heads-up display, and if you start to go one way or another, a big red stripe, depending on which side it is, comes up and says, you know, stay in your lane. But the problem is you're out on an open highway, and first of all, if you just drift a little bit, it goes beep, 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 and it literally grabs the wheel and kicks you back. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And a couple times, you know how, like, out on the highway and like that, where they've done some construction and they restriped, and it read those stripes, and I'm going down the center of the lane, and it's reading the stripe where they had done a crossover,
and it's
like telling me I'm out of my lane, and the steering wheel's getting kind of grabby, you know, and you kind of go, yeah, that still needs a little work.
And it's not just a Honda thing.
It's not. The technology
is available. I've done this a few times. There's a, you know, on my commute, like, to the studio and back when we're doing CarCast, there's a couple different sort of transitions in the road where the lines get a little funky. When I have that on, it feels like it's going to dart me into the sidewalk.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, what? What's going? Like, it gets a little funky. You got to play with that. I'm wondering, you know, we only get these cars for a limited time. We'd have to really sort of, like, sit down with the book. Can you adjust the sensitivity of that? Can you turn it on and off? And I think you can turn it on and off. There's different ways to do it. In some of the cars, it's a little easier than the other. But I have noticed that some are more aggressive. Like, I was driving a Jaguar XE, which is the smaller, like, 3 Series size Jaguar. And it would it was more gentle. And it was a smooth transition. You'd go out of the lane and bring you back in, go out of the lane and bring you back in. And then after like 2 times, it's getting mad at you. It's like, you're not awake.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to wake up. And it's alerting you. We're like, you need to take the wheel and you need to start, like, it wasn't meant to be like autopilot by any means. It was just meant to, you know, save your ass like once or twice. But hey, you're like, maybe you should pull over and have some coffee. And one of the car companies, I forgot which one, has a little coffee cup come up. And it's and it's like, maybe it's time for some coffee, buddy.
Not too big eyeballs.
But it was a coffee cup, and then later it turned into like a line of blow. It was weird. Like,
exactly. No, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Dad has the new GMC or you know, like a Chevy Suburban kind of thing. I think it's a GMC. And down in Cabo, that he just got, you know, to pick up guests and stuff from the Cabo Wabo. And
there's no lines on the road down there.
Well, that's the thing, is if there's no lines on the road, it'll, like, start drifting over a little bit. I was testing it, and there's a button on the dash, and I was trying to figure out if you hit it, does it turn it off, or does it hit it when you turn it on? But I was messing with it a little bit, because it was kicking back, and I'm like, I told my wife, I said, Misha, this thing, the steering is kicking back on me. I said, there must be some driving assist. So we looked it up a little bit. Again, I didn't read the manual either, but yeah, it was really abrupt. It, like, it jerked the steering wheel back out of your hands, and it wasn't very smooth, and like you said, if the lines aren't really, really defined, it doesn't really know what they are, and it starts to get a little squirrely.
Well, I did read an article recently that, you know, the reflective, we all refer to them as drunk bumps, but the lane bumps,
yeah.
But they're the reflective ones, that if you're going the correct direction, they're white. They reflect white.
Yeah.
If you're going, like, if you get on the freeway the wrong way, they are red. And those have been on the freeways out here in California for a long time because it was supposed to be. But I'm sorry, if you're drunk, you're not going to see the, hey, yeah, it's red. I better go the other way. You know?
We always read about people getting on the freeway the wrong way.
It's like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
But I had a guy almost hit me the other day. He was coming the wrong way down the street. And I'm like, how do you, I mean, there's three lanes of traffic and you're coming down my side, you know. But they said that these new cars, because of the reflectors, it's throwing the sensors off. They can't, because they're getting the reflected light from them. So they're saying that they're going to go through and retrofit and get rid of all those bumps in the road so that the new cars can read them. I mean, that's a huge expense.
That seems like
a lot of taxpayer money. That would make sense, because there's got to be a universal language for these new cars that they can, you know, read everything consistently. Otherwise, we're going to have tons and tons of safety problems, and they're going to be serious. One lawsuit, and everybody's going to slap their forehead and go, we should have done this, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, I sat down with one of the engineers at Lincoln during the LA Auto Show press days, and the new Lincoln Aviator that's coming out later in the year, you know, it's a gorgeous, you know, $100,000 SUV. I mean, it could get up to 100. It doesn't start there, but you know, they're black label edition,
right?
And they were talking about all the sensors and stuff that does this, but they're using the sensors in combination with cameras. There's a camera on the rear view mirror that points out and sees ahead, you know, for like the cruise control stuff and things. And they're trying to figure out a way, I don't know, this would be sort of version one of them, is using the sensors data with the camera data, and maybe it can become more accurate. You know, like if you're in the carpool lane and it's that the lane assist is throwing you off, it darts you to the left, you could tag the cement wall, but the camera could probably see that there's a cement wall, you know, a consistent white stripe of cement wall, and not put you there, or see another car or something like that, you know. So Maybe the
government could hack in and then direct you towards that through the camera.
It seems to be
not that I'm a conspiracy theorist or anything.
It seems to be very easy on every TV show. I was like watching, like an NCIS Los Angeles, and they're like,
you were watching Network,
and like it was a car was like off a dirt road. It was like flipped upside down, and they're like, and they referenced the technology, like, oh, some of the auto controls, the lane assist stuff, maybe caused the car to veer off. Like somebody had hacked it and maybe veer off. But the car was like a 94 Impala. And
yeah,
I was like,
exactly.
I don't know about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it didn't have lane assist.
Because somebody's writing the script, and then somebody's like, get a car that we're going to wreck. We're like, oh, I don't want to get a brand new BMW for this scene. You know, I don't want to wreck that. So they go get like a former cop car or
exactly,
something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, it didn't have any of that.
We have a $1,500 budget for the car we wreck, so go okay.
Right. I don't even think that car had ABS brakes on it.
Exactly.
It was just straight up. And I was like, so I get what you were doing, but it didn't really play well in TV.
Let's talk about you watching NCIS, though. What were you doing?
Goldberg is a guest star.
Oh, okay. And, so that's the excuse.
Yeah. So Goldberg was, he did an episode that he did like a, he's got a couple more episodes coming out as we were talking about it.
When I was on Magnum PI, you didn't watch that episode, though.
No, because I don't watch stuff with you in it.
Jeez. I was the guy who fell out of the helicopter. So anyways,
he was the guy they stuffed in the dumpster, Matt.
No, I was the dumpster diver that they came
Brad's
up with.
A dumpster baby.
Yeah, yeah. He was driving a 76 Mako Shark Vet, and they saw that and they put him in a dumpster.
So the but anyways, back to the Accord. The technology is going to catch up. The Accord's a great car for the money. I mean, I can see why so many people have purchased them, because it's just, I mean, man, if you had a family, if you had to commute, if you just wanted a really nice car for the value, it seems to have it all.
Now, this comes up a lot because I drove the Acura ILX, which is smaller. It's like the Honda Civic, but the luxury version.
Mm-hmm.
And you drove the Accord, and is there... is there much of a difference, you know, because people say this stuff all the time, like, I'm driving the Acura ILX, or like, oh, it's an Accord, it's a Civic with just more money. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's a Civic, it's a little bit more money, but what do you want in the car? Do you want different leather, or you know, you want a different look, you want a little bit different styling, you want a little bit nicer interior, you want whatever, like, that's kind of the idea of having Honda and Acura and Nissan.
Toyota
and
Lexus, yeah. and Ford and yeah. Lincoln. And, yeah. Yeah.
Right, and I get it, and they try to create more separation. Yeah, like what you're saying, Aaron, they sort of the nicer upgrade. Now, some of the vehicles, they try to do much more of a separation, you know, like certainly what, like, I don't know, maybe like a Ford Explorer is now to what the new Lincoln Aviator is going to be. The Aviator's just got like crazy audio and all kinds of stuff in it. That's going to be a big leap forward. And I don't know, maybe on some level what Volkswagen and Audi are doing are a pretty big spread. And Porsche as well, because there's a lot of shared platforms.
Or Kia and Bentley.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait, it doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way.
Okay.
You can't just name two car companies.
I thought you could. I thought, you know.
That's not the game we're playing.
Oh, darn.
So there's a little less separation between Honda and Acura, right?
Yes.
Right.
You know, so the question is when you are shopping for something like an Accord and you think to cross shop like Toyota Camry or Nissan or something like that, you could cross shop Accord and Acura.
Yeah.
You know, because what you're doing is just looking at trim levels going, hey, you know, for a few grand more, can I get the Acura? And then here's the question.
Well, and then it's the styling, too.
It's the styling.
Because you have mechanics, then it's the styling.
And what has the better resale value later? If you spend a little extra money, here's a question for you. Is if you get an Accord with all of the options, and then you get the Acura equivalent with similar options, but there may be, it's not the top of the line one, is the fully loaded Accord better resale value than the moderately, you know, loaded Acura? Like, does one brand have a better resale value or not?
I bet Alistair could answer that.
I bet Alistair Weaver could. Yeah. I guess these are, my point is, you know, like on social media, we talk a lot about, oh, you know, this is a really nice, you know, the Acura is a really nice Civic or whatever, you know. Yeah. But these are some things to look up. Like, what are the standard features of the two and the styling and, you know, maybe the quality of leather, or maybe one's available in all-wheel drive and one's not available in all-wheel drive. And what is the resale value? And you start looking at Blue Book and cost of ownership. And, you know, so it's not really, in my mind, an apple.
And for some people, it's driveway appeal or school time appeal.
Yeah.
You know, if your wife feels better pulling up to school to pick the kids up in one versus the other, that's the one you got to get, man.
Yep.
So,
anyway, good stuff to consider. Look, the Alfa Romeo that I was driving, the Giulia car and the SUV, the Stelvio, are largely based on the same platform. Just, you know, one's got a lift kit, I guess.
A lift kit?
You know?
Yeah, they just took the Giulia and put a lift kit on it. And then,
so it's kind of interesting. But anyway.
Aaron, what is the newest rat rod on the market?
I have no answer for that.
No answer.
Did you ever, speaking of rat rods, did you ever get that?
Because unless you go to the spectrum of just paint it flat black and call it a rat rod, you can't strip anything down because they're not the same materials. They've got metal and then they've got all this urethane and plastic and I don't want to say carbon because you probably wouldn't go that far. No. Mm-hmm. So you got to do a wrap.
You know,
take any car that you want and you have to do a patina wrap.
Well, you just brought up a point, a hot button for me. Out here, I don't know about every other part of the country, but out here, this flat black has, okay, it's stunned. Okay, guys?
I'm done with it.
No more
flat
black. I saw a guy pull up in a brand new 7 Series BMW with stock wheels and tires, and it was wrapped all flat black, and the guy's sitting there with his sunglasses on, looking around. I'm like going, dude, your car looks like it hadn't been washed. It doesn't look cool.
Yeah.
You know, it just,
yeah.
It's like, geez.
Now, what is interesting is I've seen some cool metallic colors, right? I've seen like silver, which, you know, really reflects the light. The right light, you get silver, then you get kind of a bright white out of it. That's the beauty of a good metallic silver. And years ago, before we had the more advanced wraps that we have, I saw somebody take like a silver F-150 and do a satin clear coat over it, and it gave it a matte finish, but still reflected the light underneath it. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And now some of the wrap companies like Expel, we've been working with Expel on some stuff. They have a very clear, crystal clear wrap that has almost no orange peel in it, but now they have a satin clear as well. And you could do something fun like...
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying these people
the
have
matte black,
overused it.
Yeah, the matte black, I'm done. But if you took a silver and did a satin wrap over it, that's kind of cool. It might be interesting to see like that Stelvio with the pearl white, but then do a satin over it, or even just make it unique. Just do like a satin like offset like asymmetric stripe, you know, like all across the hood or up the hood to see if that does something for you, because it could be kind of interesting to play with gloss versus satin. Just not on a straight up black. I just don't like it on the black. You know, I've seen it on whites and blues. That's kind of interesting.
There's a lot of really cool things. And it's like the other day online, one of the coolest things I saw was one of those new Lamborghini SUVs.
Oh, the Urus.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy done it in a full green camouflage wrap. But then he had orange wheels on it. Ooh, boy, did that look good.
Yeah. Sure.
And then R. Kelly got one of those, too.
Did he?
And it was online, and it was some wrap company, and I mean wrapping the car in color.
Oh, not
no
company.
And they said, R. Kelly's car, we just finished it in this custom wrap. And it was bathroom beige. I mean, this car was bathroom beige. And I'm like going, who takes that and does that to it? You know, I mean, it's like, what color's underneath it? You know, like bright yellow or orange? Or
yeah, I'm not sure. It's funny because I've only seen like a couple of the Urus on the road, the Lamborghini.
I've seen one.
And I saw it in yellow. It's terrible.
The
it's
one I saw was in white. You know,
oh, I saw it in yellow, and all I can think of is Pontiac Aztec.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That's what we should call all the bad colors, our Breaking Bad cars, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure it's gonna be fast, and it's going to be amazing. So it was at, you know, the first time I saw it in person and kind of got in it was at the Rodeo Drive Concourse, Father's Day thing. And Lamborghini had a display there, and, you know, I was down there, and Adam was down there, and we were walking around. They're like, you know, hop the ropes, come on in, and take a look at this thing. And it looks cool, like, when you get up on the interior, and it's very Lamborghini-ish. And I think the one they had was, like a maroonish red. It was nice. It exuded luxury, like, it seemed high-end. And then I was just driving on the freeway just a few weeks ago, and I saw yellow, and I was like, yellow is a bad choice. Yellow is bad. I'm going to say orange is probably pretty bad as well. Like, Lamborghini has some popping colors. I don't know that you need it for this.
Yeah.
I don't know that you need it in this.
Like, this might look better in a subtle color and just let the line speak for itself. But it's all about execution. It's like I saw a guy driving, you know, we spoke recently about going out with, you know, our buddy Tyson and looking at you. You went out and looked at Humvees, right?
Yeah, we went to Utah.
So I saw a guy right after we spoke about that, and he had this bitchin' Humvee, man. It was the pickup truck back.
Yeah.
And it had giant wheels and tires on it, and everything was flat black on this thing. It was matte black, and there was no chrome. It had bumper guards that were black, and the wheels were black. And I thought, wow, that looks cool. And then when he pulled up next to me at the intersection, he had one of those ridiculous, you know, 12-inch exhaust tips on it, you know? And it was so loud, and I went, you know, this is about execution, because that whole theme that you went with is like stealth.
Yeah.
and then you put a megaphone on the back, you know?
Was it polished? Or was it black?
No, it was black, too. Okay, but it was just so loud and so obnoxious. And I was like, so you got this thing that looks like a stealth fighter, or you could go in on a mission, you know, somewhere, and nobody'd catch you. But they would. They'd hear you coming from 5 miles away, you know.
I tell you, we drove some of those Humvees with the stock engines and all that stuff. Those things are really loud.
Yes.
Yeah. And
that diesel motor was really loud.
We were joking about it. We're like, oh, every time we watch a movie, we're watching like Hurt Locker. Like, why is everybody driving Humvees with headphones on? You know, like with like PA systems. You know, like, you know, the,
like we're wearing right now.
Like,
yes.
We drove it. We're like, we get it now. Yeah, we totally get it now. You cannot talk in that thing. You can't.
Or so, you would be hoarse by the time you got there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There's no way you could hear anything. Yeah, they're so loud. It's definitely not stealthy at all. But anyway, let's got to wrap some stuff up. I got to go over to Sparco and buy a helmet. I'm going to do some drag racing. Well, by the time you listen to this, I would have already drag raced. This is what's going to happen. I'm
going
to go
Matt's
out to
going
Pomona.
In drag.
We're going to go to Pomona. We're going to drag race some Dodge Demons. I'm not going to Richard Rollins the car.
You hope.
I that's my goal. And
because we'll never live it down.
We're going to have a nice little racing weekend over at Spring Fest, the Dodge Festival up there. Goldberg's coming out. He's bringing all of his cars.
all of them?
No, he's actually trailering out like two or three of them. And we're going to do some little racing out there.
Good. I'm going to come out and see you guys out there.
Come out and see it. I'm excited because it's at the NHRA drag strip. We get to run the actual drag strip.
Exactly.
Not like, you know, the auto club speedway.
Is the weather going to hold out for us?
It's supposed to. Yeah, it's supposed to be nice and bright. Put your sunscreen on, Bradley.
I don't need no stinking sunscreen.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much. As usual, you can go to shiftandsteer.com and get the goods. And if you like the show, give us a little rating on iTunes. If you like it, give us a nice little 5-star rating. If you don't like it, you don't have to do anything. That's the beauty of it.
That's right.
You can just skip over.
But we'd appreciate it.
You can just skip over.
Hey, the other thing, too, guys, all these cars we've been talking about, we do post photo galleries of them. Matt's going to give me a whole photo gallery of his Alfa Romeo and... we post photo galleries of a lot of them on the Shift and Steer website. Just hit gallery, and you'll see those there if you want to see.
It's on our social media as well at Shift Steer Media. Not too many pictures of the Alfa Romeo this time because it was raining the whole time I had it. But
that's when you take it out somewhere really cool and you use, you know, a long exposure so you get that really dramatic photo.
Yeah, I don't want to melt.
You didn't want to get wet. Well, no, you have a photo assistant that holds the umbrella over you.
I'm afraid my witchy ways will melt.
Don't forget what?
Don't forget that Matt's made of paper mache.
That's right.
All true.
All right. Well, you can find me on Instagram at Bradley_Fanshaw. Everywhere else you can go is Brad Fanshaw. And hey, I don't think I've ever talked about this, but if you want to see more photos of these cars too, you can check them out at Photos by Fanshaw on Instagram. I throw some stuff up there along with George the dog. I do a photo tradition. Every single car I drive, whether it's my own or whether it's a press car, I do a photo of George with the car.
I'm sure everybody
loves that. Yeah, you know, guys, give Brad some love on that Instagram because it's only got 157 followers. So you definitely want to raise that number a little bit. Brad, you need to put more effort into that and marketing it because it's a nice page.
I just do it for fun. Thank you very much, but I just do it for fun. You know, it's just as people find it, they like it, you know, but it's...
it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
It was either that or a George the Dog Instagram page, and I figured that would be better.
Brad, that would become a full-time job.
No kidding.
You guys haven't seen George the Dog. George the Dog is gorgeous. He's elderly, so he's got even more color and texture. He's a great portrait dog, Brad. I might have to knock out a little portrait of him.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, if you haven't seen George the Dog, you need to do an Instagram of George the Dog, man.
real quick side note, and then we'll go... George, we run a lot of wheels to UPS Center late at night. The wheels go out, but then we've got till 7 o'clock to get wheels over there, and I'm usually the one who takes them. So George goes with me, and everybody in the UPS Center knows George. It's the funniest thing because we'll be walking in, and the UPS drivers will be walking out because they're done for – and they're like, hey, George, hey, how you doing, George? What's going on, George? And George's butt's wiggling, you know. Then we walk in, and there's a line of people waiting to pick up their packages.
Yeah.
And everybody behind the counter stops and goes, oh, George is here, George. Oh, and they get him a treat. I take him off the leash. He runs behind the counter. He gets his treat. He comes walking out all proud. And they never once say, hi, Brad. They could give a rat's ass
George
about
is here.
Me.
George is here with his owner. What's that guy's name? Yeah. I don't remember.
One day they actually did say, they went.
The wheel guy.
Oh, yeah. What's your name? And I went, Brad. Oh, okay. We'll remember it now. They didn't remember.
Nah. Just a quick little heads up.
What,
I'm going to be...
No, because they just tell me your name's George, too.
Exactly, yeah.
The Georges are here. I'm going to be at the New York Auto Show on April 17th. I believe it's one of the press days, but we're going to have a nice little chat. I'm going to be interviewing Hiroshi Tamura, who is the Chief Performance Officer of the GTR and Z brands, and our friend Pete Brock.
Jacob Javits Center.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know.
Is yeah, that's where it's at, man.
Hey, Are you guys or are we going to the Benedict Castle event at the end of the month?
Nobody ever reached out to us, to be honest with you. So didn't have it on my sheet at this point.
Aaron's
thinking of coming down for it.
Okay,
thinking of coming because Devon keeps asking me, and our friend Mike Brewer has his first stand up. Comedy show coming up too, I believe April 11th or something. April 11th
yeah.
or 14th.
Yeah, he mentioned that to me.
I think he did one already.
Yeah.
So no, I think 11th was the first one that he's got planned. April 11th or something.
Yeah.
But
and speaking of him, I believe Ant just posted that him and his new wife
baby.
Are pregnant. Woo!
They both are.
There's all kinds of news. There's all kinds. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
baby. The first one was a trans. I think that man, a woman to man, and she got pregnant. He got pregnant. But this would be the second one.
Where are you going?
That's so weird.
Hey, let's. Hey,
all right, guys, we're done. I gotta go.
We're done. We gotta go. We gotta wrap it up before Aaron comes up with some other. Craziness. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shift and Stare. We'll be back next week. We're going to tell you about some more stuff we drove, some stuff with Matt out at the Dodge drag race with Goldberg, and all kinds of good stuff. So tune back in, and we'll see you then. And between now and then, check out our social medias. Bye-bye.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure, Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.